Go with me back in time. We're in the country of Egypt. We're in the city alongside the Nile. Here we find the Egyptians are living the life of Riley, and they're being taken care of by the Israelite slaves. The Israelites are in Egyptian bondage and have been for a long time. Here recently, the children of Israel and the Egyptians are having difficulties with each other because of the arrival of one by the name of Moses. Moses has come to Egypt with a message from God. It said, "Let my people go." Of course, Pharaoh rejected this request, made more difficult the life of the Israelites that were under his bondage. So God began to send plagues upon the Egyptians to let them know who He was, the power that He had, and they really did need to let His people go. Plague after plague arose, and plague after plague failed. Pharaoh refused to let God's people go. Nothing had worked. God had sent 9 plagues upon the country of Egypt, and nothing had worked. Now, there is talk of one more plague. It is a fearsome plague. It is a plague that will involve the coming of the death angel, that will go through the streets in the city of Egypt, and will destroy the firstborn of every family. Even the Israelites fear this death angel. They must do something to protect themselves from the coming of the death angel. God gives Moses the instructions of how to do this. Moses tells the children of Israel to take the blood of a lamb without blemish, a lamb without defect, and sprinkle or paint the blood across the doorpost of their home. When the angel passes through the town that evening, those who have the blood of the Lamb will be spared. These people on that night were saved by the blood of the Lamb. Man has always had difficulties in life, and it always stems because of sin that came upon man shortly after God created them and placed them in the Garden of Eden. And as time went by, sin became worse and worse. And there had to be something that could be done to remove the awful results of sin. The answer was blood. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, "In Him we have redemption, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Just as the blood of the Lamb saved those people on the night of the death angel, it is the blood of the Lamb, God's only Son, Jesus Christ, that saves us today from our sins. Now, what I want us to do tonight for just a few moments is I want us to think for just a minute if we did not have that blood. And I want to go back to Egypt again, and I want to think about all of those people who were in Egypt who did not have the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts of their homes. That was the case, my friends. Every firstborn of that family perished that night, because the blood of the Lamb did not protect them. And I want us to think tonight, my friends, that there are so many people in this world, in this country, in this state, in our community, who do not have the blood of the Lamb protecting them. There may even be someone here in this auditorium tonight who do not have the blood of the Lamb protecting them. And I want us to imagine for just a few moments what our loss is because we do not have the blood of the Lamb. First of all, I want to suggest to you that without the blood, it means that we are unable to find our way. Those of us who are Christians tonight, my friends, there is not a one of us who can reach around and pat ourselves on the back because we have obtained salvation. It is not something that we have given to ourselves. It is not something that we have given to each other. It is something that we have obtained because God sent His Son to be the blood of the Lamb, to offer blood for us that we can have salvation. Jesus Himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." And Paul tells us that salvation is by the grace of God through faith. And it is not of ourselves. There is nothing that we could have done to obtain it. There is nothing that we did do to obtain it. It came from God. In Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save that which was lost." And how did He do that? With His own blood. So my friends, without blood, we could not have had salvation. We could not have found it on our own. You know, every major religion, we have people that are seeking God. We have people that are looking for a Savior. And they can find Him if they will only look to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. This is how God came looking for you and me. "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Do you know who He's talking about here? You may say, well, he was talking about the Gentiles. And when He wrote this letter, He was talking about the Gentiles. He was also talking about you and me. You and I were once far away from God. You and I were just like the Gentiles of the days of Paul. We were not a part of Christ. But because of the blood of Christ, we have been brought near. We are now a part of God's family. We have been a part of God's love for us that came through the blood of Christ. And that's the only way that we have it. It's because of the blood. Secondly, without the blood, it means that we are no longer possessed by God. You know, we are twice God's. We are God's, first of all, because of the creation. He created us. He created us in His image. Therefore, we belong to Him. We are God's. We are is a second time through our salvation. The difference is we have to choose the second time that we become a part of God. You know, contrary to Calvin's teaching, God created us spotless and pure and sinless. You know, at birth we are not saved because we have no need to be saved because we are safe, because we have no sin. But because of our own lust, James says, by our own choice, by our own evil desires, we have now brought sin into our lives. We have separated ourselves from God, and now we are no longer safe. We're no longer saved. Romans tells us that we have all sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. It is the transgression of God's law. It is the knowing to do right and doing wrong. It is that which is not by faith. And we've all done it. We've all missed that mark. We were safe, but we are no longer safe because we are guilty of sin. But you know, the good news is that God made an effort to purchase us, to create us anew, to make us His once again. And He did so with the blood of Christ. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20 that you were bought with a price. In Romans 5 and verse 6, just at the right time when you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And again, He's talking about you and me. We were the sinners. We were powerless to save ourselves. We were ungodly. My friends, we need to know that God did not send Jesus to die for good people. He sent Jesus to die for sinners. Basically, He sent Jesus to die for all, because there are no good people, because there is sin in every life. So He came to find us. He came to save us. He came to purchase our pardon. And He did so with blood, so that once again He could possess us. Number three, without blood, it means that we are ruined and we are destroyed. You know, the Scriptures tell us that physical death is not the end of life. We will live forever somewhere. Scripture also tells us that we will spend this forever in one of two places. It can either be heaven, which is a state of comfort, a state of bliss, a state of eternal joy, or it can be hell, a place of darkness, a place of torment, a place of eternal regret. You know, some people try to make hell endurable by saying, well, it's really not going to last forever. It'll just be for a split moment, and then we will be disintegrated and it will be all over. Well, my friends, that cannot be true. If you go back to the Scripture, you will find that the same word that describes the eternal happiness for those who are in the New Testament heaven is the same word that describes the eternal ravages of hell. So as long as there is a heaven, as long as there is bliss, as long as there is comfort, as long as there is peace for those in heaven, there will be the torment and the destruction for those in hell. But again, the great news is that we can be saved from all this ruin and all this destruction. You know, Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, in Him we have redemption, and again, through His blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. So my friends, don't let Satan ruin and destroy your life for all eternity. You can come to the blood of Jesus and let it save you. And then finally, without the blood, it means to be lacking assurance. I know people who have been Christians for 30, 40 years plus, and they go through their lives every day wringing their hands with sweat, worrying, am I really saved? I went up to people and asked them, are you saved? And they will say, well, I hope so. And I'm not talking about people out in the world. I'm talking about people in the church, people who have been Christians their whole lives, and yet they still do not know whether or not they are going to heaven. They do not know whether their relationship is what it needs to be. My friends, if I have a bad relationship with God, I'll be the first to know it. If my relationship with God is not what it should be because of my knowledge of the Scriptures, I will know that, and so will you. Every one of us in this room should know without a shadow of a doubt whether you were lost or whether you were saved. Because you understand God's Word, you understand what it has said, you understand the commandments that must be obeyed, and you know whether you have done it or not. There should be no question in the mind of anyone in this room whether you are lost or saved. But yet we wring our hands in worry, wondering, will I make it or will I not? That is a horrible way to live. God does not want us to live that way. You can have assurance with your Christianity. And you can have it through faith. Faith in what? Faith in the blood. Knowing that the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from your sin. Knowing that if you walk in the light as He is in the light, that you have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse you day after day after day. 1 John 1 verse 7. Read it for yourself. It's there. We can have that assurance every day of our lives. We don't have to guess. We don't have to live in fear of taking our last breath. And it's because of the blood of Jesus. You know, that night in Egypt, each home was targeted with either life or death. The Jewish home that evening was a life of rejoicing because they had done what God said to, and the angel passed over them. Those of the Egyptians who did not follow God, who did not obey God, who did not even care about God, the death angel came and took their lives. But can you imagine sitting there in that Israelite home, and around midnight you hear the screams of terror because those who did not have the blood were losing lives, one right after the other. In other homes, there was rejoicing because that night the angel passed over their house because the blood was there. And I want you to put yourselves in those people's shoes tonight. When you pillow your head this evening in sleep, will the blood of Jesus be over you? Will it protect you from a death and destruction sin? If you do not have the blood of Christ protecting you tonight, you stand in the same shoes as the Egyptians stood in thousands of years ago. So I'm asking you tonight, in closing this lesson, do you have the blood of Christ? Because, my friends, I can assure you, you are lost without the blood. Tonight, if you are not a Christian, you need the blood of Christ to justify you, to sanctify you, to wash you whiter than snow. If you are a Christian and you have walked away from God, you need that blood of Christ again to forgive you. And all you have to do is ask, and He will forgive. You need the blood of Christ. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand as saints.